Have your Bibles tonight. Turn with me to Revelation 17. Revelation 17. I enjoyed the fellowship at lunch today and talking with the Boyces and the Hankies, and enjoyed seeing their kids growing up and seeing those folks serving the Lord where they are. Appreciate what little part we had in their lives from this church and helping them along the way. And thankful they think enough of us to come back, you know, and visit like they did today. That's a real blessing. They've done that several times when we've had anniversaries. And normally we'd have a dinner, you know, and they would be able to stay and eat right here at the church and then get on back home. But I think Joy went home, and it was 3 o'clock when she got home today. And I came on back over here to the church to look over my Sunday night message. So we it was a great day. Thank you all for your part. Revelation 17, verse 1. There came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, "Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have made drunk with the wine of her fornication." So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, capital letters, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. The angel said unto me, "Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen and 1 is, and the other is not yet come, and when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is of the 8th, and is of the 7, and goeth into perdition," referring to hell. "And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have 1 mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues." Remember, tongues always refers to languages. "And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and to give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth." Father, as we look into the Word tonight, I pray that you'll give us understanding and wisdom. There's a lot of application of illustration and similes and metaphors among these descriptions. And it's easy to read through these things and just not have the knowledge of what they all represent. And Lord, if we read through Revelation in one sitting, then much of this we'll see is connected very much. As we saw in chapter 16, the connection with the seven vials of judgment being poured out in the beginning of this chapter, one of those angels announces this beginning. So as these things overlap and come to pass in the tribulation period, number one, Father, I'm thankful that for all true believers of this age in which we live, we will be delivered from this awful time of temptation that will come upon all the world. We'll be called up to heaven to be with Jesus, and that's the promise we look forward to. But Lord, all of our friends and family members who are not saved are going to be left behind if they don't come to the Lord and get forgiveness of their sins and receive Christ as their Savior. So we see the vital importance of that immediately, imperatively, urgently, that people need to be saved, because without that, they're going to be left behind and go through the tribulation and all the terrible things that will happen in that time. So Lord, bless your people tonight with understanding and help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Babylon is on the shores of the Euphrates River. It got famous again under King Hussein, who ruled in Iraq. He wasn't really a legal king. He was a president or something, I guess, elected supposedly. And I don't think you could vote against him, or you might not be found the next day. But he made Babylon famous, wanting to build it again and make it a paradise and a tourist attraction and all that sort of thing. A number of American servicemen who went over to Iraq to fight brought back bricks from Babylon, from the tower and that sort of thing. Remnants of what had been left. Now, Babylon is on the shores of the Euphrates River, and the area where this lies is the area where the Tower of Babel was built by Nimrod back in the early part of the book of Genesis. There were four rivers that Euphrates was only one, and two of these rivers went into four streams that were actually major rivers, and that's where Eden was. And there was one of those rivers, Havilah, where gold would be found. And I don't know if they found it all or not. The problem is the Genesis flood took place after the Garden of Eden, and an awful lot of that has changed, and sand has filled up. Some of those rivers have rerouted and all of that sort of thing. But these things are in the area of the Persian Gulf. Now, the four rivers are spoken of in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 10 through 14, and where Adam and Eve were in Eden, and these four rivers that come out, and one of those is the river Euphrates. Abraham, who became the father of the Jewish nation, was from Ur of the Chaldees, and that is south on the Euphrates. His brother is called a Syrian. And Abraham was called out from the idolatrous family that he was in to worship the true God and to become the head of the nation of Israel. And Nebuchadnezzar built up Babylon when he was the ruler there. And God's word revealed that he was a great and powerful king. He was not a spiritual man. He was not a believer in the true God until he was smitten by God and went wild as an animal and lived eating grass, and his hair grew out and his fingernails grew out, and he finally looked up to heaven and gave God the glory, and God restored his mind. But we know he conquered Israel, and he conquered Jerusalem and destroyed the temple and took captive the precious things from the temple of God, and he took the four young men, Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who were called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and brought them in to be counselors in his wise men. Now, Nebuchadnezzar had a great empire. It was north of the Persian Gulf. It's a place known for rebellion against God, all the way back to Nimrod, who built a tower so that they could worship the stars and not be destroyed by the flood. The desire was to build it bigger than any mountain so they would be safe in their tower even if another flood took place. And it was in direct rebellion against God's judgment. It was known for idolatry, for conquering other lands, for taking people into captivity. It was a counterfeit kingdom. And the Antichrist will again rebuild a counterfeit kingdom in the tribulation. Now, Babylon, many of you have studied these things and heard these things spoken on. And Hyslop wrote a book called The Two Babylons. And the one is the place, Babylon. And the other is the system of religion and political power. And when you associate religion with Babylon, it has to be idolatry and wickedness and partying and fornication and all those kind of things. Now, it's called also in here the beast. The beast is that as a great prostitute riding a kingdom that seduces men. Seven heads and ten horns. And we saw described in verse 9 through 12 what the description of these things are. Now back in chapter 17, verse 1 through 6, we see the judgment of the great whore. God's on his throne. And if I can get through it tonight, I'm going to talk about his judgment of five specific people or nations or things. Five specific ones. First of all those who are in the kingdom of Antichrist will suffer the judgment of God. If you go back to chapter 16 and look at verse 1, I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast and upon them which worshipped his image. So the Antichrist kingdom and all those who've taken the mark of the beast and who worship his image will be judged before God. And the seven angels administer the judgment on these, those who are a part of the beast kingdom. They're given a horrible and grievous sore, like a cancer that is a result of a plague, is one of the definitions of that sore. We've been dealing with a plague in the COVID-19 now for almost 2 years. And I saw today on my phone on national news where Fauci is still talking about how everybody who's gotten the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccine did a great thing, and it's the best possible shot because you get two of them, and it will proof you to 94% to 95%. Against the COVID, but we don't know how long it will last. You may need a booster shot in 6 months, or you may need another shot every year, is what he's saying now. And so they just keep coming up with this stuff. They act like it's never going away. And they try to control the population with their rhetoric and with their fear and anxiety and all that sort of thing. I don't know about you, but I'm just not going to worry about it. I'm going to do what I need to do to get a vaccine or whatever, and if I have to get another one, I'll get another one. But I'm just not going to sit around and worry about it and fret over it and be concerned about it and keep myself so isolated that I don't get around anybody. If you'd have seen the steak place today, the Golden Corral, I mean, that place was packed out. And people were back and forth, and they were eating big old meals and going back and forth around everybody. And it said on the door that you no longer have to wear a mask, you know, because the state of South Carolina has ruled the mask order is invalid now. And so they weren't worrying about it at all today. In chapter 16 and verse 3, another judgment from God is that the sea becomes as congealed blood of a dead man, and all that is alive in the sea dies. To go along with that, the angel glorifies God for his righteousness, and then he brings another judgment upon the waters, on fresh water that is turned to blood. And the people have blood to drink because they've shed the blood of the innocent and the victims, and everybody who refused the mark of the beast will be killed and slain. And there are many martyrs that will take place in the tribulation, and God is going to give them back blood to drink for all the blood they've shed. The sun will intensify, and men will be scorched with the heat, and their skin will get a taste of what it'll be like to be in hell. There are places so hot you can't stay in them, and you can't get out in the sun and stay there for very long, because the UV rays are so powerful, your skin will burn in a matter of minutes, and you have to wear a 70. The lowest level they recommend is a 70 sunblock, and you must renew that several times if you stay out in that for very long. Your body will sweat out all the water, so there'll be great thirst, but there'll be no fresh water to be able to drink when all the water's been turned to blood. And so the dangers in the tribulation period, men will find out what the judgment of God is like. And yet through all that, they'll blaspheme the name of God and they'll fail to repent even when they have opportunity. Then we saw that there'll be darkness as there was in Egypt, when they'll gnaw their tongues for the pain and they'll blaspheme God's name. And then God will dry up the Euphrates River and send demon spirits into the kings of the east that will draw them to the day of battle with the Lamb. And that's no more than what we've already seen, the Battle of Armageddon, that Christ will return from heaven and will fight the Battle of Armageddon. And this is an overlapping of explanation of the same events. Then the earthquake and hail that will take place in verse 17. And then all that are lost are eventually going to be cast into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet and Satan are, and they'll be tormented day and night forever and forever. I don't want to see anybody go to hell, do you? I want to see people get saved. I want people to understand that hell is real and hell is horrible, and people can mock and make fun and tell all the jokes they want to about it, but nobody would want to go to hell if they really understand and believe what hell is. And God has given Christ to die so that we don't have to go to hell. We can be saved and be with God forever in heaven. Now, the second condemned one, other than the kingdom of the beast, is the Antichrist, the false Christ, the one who rises to power, the one who God allows to come in on a white horse and have a bow, and he comes to power, and he rises to this point with all the answers, and people will admire him and look to him, and they will exalt him. And he will have power given unto him from Satan to rule over men. But it'll be short-lived until he turns on men and requires they declare him God and worship him or be destroyed. They must receive the mark of the beast to be in his kingdom, or they cannot buy or sell or trade without that. Many people are talking about the things going on behind the scenes in Washington today, and there's talk about doing away with currency. There's talk about doing everything like on a credit card, and I'm sure you'll have to have a number assigned to you and all that sort of thing. Now, that's not going to happen tomorrow, But this majority that's controlling things right now, they've got five or six things they're trying to rush through under the carpet and get into place as laws. And they're trying to think about stacking the Supreme Court. And all of those kind of things will take all of the liberties and freedoms that we have known in the past will be in jeopardy if these kind of things go through. And this is nothing more than setting the stage for the Antichrist, who will become a terrible dictator to rule over men. Thirdly, the one standing before God that is judged is the false prophet. And he's described in chapter 19 and verse 20 and 21. The Bible says the beast was taken, with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. I came down the road today from my house coming to the church this morning, and it was about, I don't know, a little bit after 8. I was running a little bit late because I ran my car through the car wash this morning before I came in, get all the pollen off of it, and eagle poop, whatever it was. I think it's geese flying over. We hear them sometimes, and something decorates my car some, you know. So I ran it through the car wash, and then I hit the road coming in at Newport there, not far from Walmart, and there was a dead deer on the left-hand side of the road, and there was almost nothing left of that dead deer, and there was about 20 buzzards. And about half of them were on each side of the road, and they were flying around, and they were eating, and they were fighting against each other, trying to get to that stink and that decay and to eat that stuff. I know God invented those things to eat up all the dead things on the side of the road and to keep disease from spreading and all that sort of thing, but boy, they're nasty-looking birds. And there's coming a day where they're going to have the captains and kings of the earth to eat after the destruction of the Battle of Armageddon. And the false prophet will be among those that will be cast into the lake of fire along with the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, and Satan. Now, the fourth thing that's judged by God in the tribulation is the great red dragon, who is Satan, or the devil. He will be cast first into the bottomless pit, where he will be chained and will be kept for 1,000 years while the kingdom takes place upon the earth. And the pit, bottomless pit, is from the Greek word abyss. And the abyss is connected with the judgment. It's the place of the abode of the king of the demons, and that is Satan himself. His day is found in chapter 20 and verse 10, where he also will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone and tormented day and night forever and forever. This unholy trinity of the tribulation, the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, and Satan, is a false trinity like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they will all be cast into the lake of fire and tormented forever and forever. Now, number 5 is the great harlot of chapter 17. She has ruled over the kings of the earth. She has corrupted men, and she sits upon many waters. We saw in verse 15 that many waters is referring to many peoples, many nations, many languages. And her religion and political power has ruled over men and drawn them into worship that is not of the true God. And so it is spiritual adultery and spiritual fornication that men will be guilty of. The rulers of the earth have committed these things with her. The idol worship, the sexual sins that go along with that. and the false religion that rejects God and His Word and His ways. The false religion has always persecuted true believers. God speaks about Jerusalem in Ezekiel 16 being like a child that was cast out into the wilderness after being born, and even its umbilical cord had not been cut, and it was covered in its blood. And God came along to Jerusalem and said, "Live." These other nations would have destroyed them many times. You think about it. You look on a map sometime, and look on a globe sometime. Pull up on your computer the size of the nation of Israel. And when you see Iraq and Iran and Egypt and Saudi Arabia, and you see Syria and these other nations around them, and you see the size of Israel, it's less than a fingernail on a hand compared to these other nations around them. And all of those nations have desired to destroy that tiny nation that sits there and take the property where the temple was and where the temple will be rebuilt in the tribulation period. And one of the things that will bring men along into cooperation with the Antichrist is they'll sign a peace treaty with Israel for 7 years. And I believe one of the catalysts of that peace treaty will be to rebuild the temple. Now, that's not out of the Bible. We know the temple will be rebuilt in the tribulation when it's going on, but it could be rebuilt next week. It could be rebuilt at any point in time. But I think that would give a great option for Israel to go along with the Antichrist if he's willing to allow them to rebuild the temple and begin their worship again, and that will transpire. But throughout history, all these nations have sought to destroy Israel. And about the only thing these nations agree upon is they hate America and they hate Israel. They do not agree with our worship of God and with our methodology or with our morals or any of those things. God had blessed the nation of Israel, particularly in Jerusalem, and He decked them with jewels and earrings and crowns and gold and silver and fine linen and silk and broidered work in the building of the temple and the holy place and the holy of holies. And He said in Ezekiel, "But you trusted in your own beauty and you played the harlot," in Ezekiel 16 and verse 15 through 17. They multiplied their whoredoms. They built high places to worship idols. They always wanted to be like the other nations around them, and they wanted a king like the other nations. But what they didn't realize, Samuel was told, "They're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me." And God let him know that what they were rejecting by desiring a king was the monarchy of God ruling over them. They wanted a king to rule over them, somebody they could see. And the danger of idolatry is worshiping something you can see instead of worshiping the invisible God that you cannot see. They played a whore with Assyria. They built fornication with Egypt. They multiplied their fornication with Canaan. And God will gather all their lovers and deliver them over unto them and throw down their eminent place as He allowed the temple to be destroyed and break down the high places and strip their wealth and stone them with stones and thrust them through with swords and burn them and execute judgment upon them. Now, if God does that to those He loves so much as the nation, imagine how He's going to treat the unbelievers and the wicked that He despises because of their sin. Well, this harlot rides a scarlet-colored beast, a religion that comes to power in the tribulation, and a place that comes to power in the tribulation. And the beast is one who comes out of the bottomless pit or the abyss. Look back at Revelation 13 and verse number 4. Worshipping Satan. In Revelation 13, 4, they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? The beast is he that comes out of the bottomless pit, and he opens his mouth in blasphemy against God, and to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. He said there are seven kings, five have fallen, and one was present, as John wrote, and one was yet to come. The Roman rulers of John's day, the seventh had not yet come to power in his day. The beast is the eighth. In chapter 11 of Revelation, in verse 7, says, and when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. In this series of kings, the beast comes to power and he comes out of the bottomless pit and he will go into perdition in his judgment. There are 10 nations that will be ruled by 10 kings that have not come to power as yet. And they will be given power by the beast, and their minds will be unified to give their will and their nations unto the beast, and they will make war with Christ, who is the Lamb of God and the King of kings and Lord of lords. And then they will turn upon the harlot, the false religion, and the false political power that has led them to where they are. All of this is a part of God's plan in bringing to pass the end time that is going to take place. Aren't you glad you've been delivered from the wrath to come and from the judgment that will come upon all the world? It takes great study to reveal all the specific details of this, and there's some overlapping of these judgments. And so we continue to study and pick apart these things to remind you of their truths and of their importance. But the bottom line, we don't have to worry about seeing those things take place. We're not looking for Antichrist, we're looking for Jesus Christ. And he's going to deliver us before this time comes upon all the world. I'm glad I'm saved. And I'm glad I don't have to go through that horrible events that will take place in the tribulation time. The natural things that God will allow to take place, and the spiritual judgments, and the reigns of terror. I can't imagine people being with children during those awful things that will transpire. I'm thankful God has saved us and will deliver us before that day comes. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the faithfulness of your people. Bless them now with understanding as we read and study, and give us insight into what you'd have us to know and how we can use it for your glory. And bless your people for their faithfulness in coming to church today. And Lord, we bless your name for these 42 years. You have kept us and allowed us to have a church and grow to this point. And Lord, we do long to see more people saved and to see the church grow. And we offer ourselves to you for service. Pray you'll use us for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.